I was on at 4 o'clock. I was on at 4:30. I was on at 5:30. I finally got out of bed because I was like, okay, it's good. It's a good time. But I've been on. Anybody else on? You on? Good. Praise God. Today, we're going to do, I'm going to do, you're going to do, we're going to do. I'm going to do a mini series for 2 weeks. It's been on my heart, and I thought, this is good. This is summertime. I get to slide in some things. So I'm going to do a mini series, and it's the Lord's Prayer. Anybody know the Lord's Prayer? I grew up calling it the Our Father. Anybody call it that? Okay. So we're going to do this, and I'm really excited about it. So let's pray right now. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We come to you, and we thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for what he's done, and we thank you for the new place that we have seated with you in Christ Jesus, and we thank you, Father, for the word. And today, Father, I pray that you would open eyes and understanding and hearts, Father, and your word would pierce and bring us to a higher level so we can complete all the great plans you have for us in Jesus' name. And everybody went Pentecostal on me? Amen. Oh, gosh. I've been in. Okay, that was good. That was good. Okay, so I just want to tell a little D story. So I grew up in the Catholic faith, which I am eternally grateful because it gave me a God conscience. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of people growing up in no church and don't know nothing about God. So I grew up in Catholic faith. But then I had my grandmother, my mom's mom, and she was from California, and she was a devout Catholic. She would pray in the morning. She would pray on the evening. She would kneel down and pray. She was one of those, and she would pray the Apostles' Creed, the Our Father, which we're going to talk about, the Hail Mary, in case you don't know that, it's not a football term, and the Glory Be. And she would get up, and she would pray that in the morning and the evening. And a couple of times when I was a teenager, my sister Mary and I, you all know I grew up in North Jersey, but my grandmother flew us out to California to stay for a month on the beach. That was a good deal. All right. And so Grammy, that's when I found how devout she was. She'd be kneeling down in prayer. And at night, we were kneeling down with her. And we were saying these prayers. Okay. And then we'd go to church with her. Okay. And so she was really a devout Catholic. And I appreciate that. I still went to church every Sunday. But I didn't pray those prayers that I just rattled off. And then I met Jesus when I was in college, right down the street at York College. I met Jesus, and I definitely was not praying those prayers, but I was going to church, and I was really excited. And then several years later, Jack and I went out to Bible school, and I found out the Our Father was in the Bible. I didn't know that because I never read a Bible, all right? So I found out, and I thought, well, then it must be a pretty good prayer. It's in the Bible. But I still didn't pray that stuff. I still just wasn't clicking, all right? And then a couple of years ago, I was talking to a friend that we went to Bible school with. We were just catching up, and she said, you know, I pray the Our Father in the morning, in the middle of the day, and in the evening. And I thought, oh, you poor girl, you've gone religious on me. Oh, my gosh, what are you doing praying those prayers? And she explained to me why. And I was like mulling it over. So I go to bed that night. I get up the next morning, and I go sit in my prayer chair. If you come to my house, don't sit in it. You'll know it's mine because it's got a stack of Bibles and markers and papers and stuff. And I go down there first thing in the morning with my cup of coffee, and I just have a great time with the Lord. So I go down, and I'm sitting in my chair, and I thought, you know what? I think I'm going to pray that prayer, the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. So I sit and I pray the Our Father, and it was amazing. It was the first time it was like amazing. It kind of exploded, and it was really kind of powerful. So I have pretty much been praying that, not three times a day, but I'll get up in the morning and I'll pray that prayer. Sometimes I just pray it straight through, and sometimes I add things to it, because that prayer is actually a model of what we can have in our prayers. And I want to talk about the things that are in that prayer that we should have in our life, all right? So I'm going to teach on this for 2 weeks. This week we're going to, by the way, open up to Matthew chapter 6, okay? Now, I have to say this, just kind of set the stage. Once you receive Jesus, everybody say, grow up. You are supposed to grow up. And the way you grow up in Jesus is, it's this. You will grow up by reading the word and applying it in your life. So otherwise, you're going to be a wah, 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 a baby, okay? So the word is really important. It helps us grow up. It helps us grow up. But I love when I say put the but in the beginning of the sentence. But there are some things that are caught. Anybody ever hear that? There's some things are caught. There's some things are caught that you won't catch unless you're around certain right people. You'll catch some things. And years ago, I think I just had Sherry, probably was pregnant with my second one, and I met this lady. She had three little kids. And it wasn't, I caught so much by watching her and listening to her on how to raise kids. It wasn't because I read it in the Bible, because I didn't have kids, you know. But I just caught some things. Anybody catch some things by being around people? Amen? Well, you do. You don't even know it. So when it comes to prayer, yes, there's lots taught in the Word of God, and you can study prayers and stuff like that, but there's a whole bunch of things that can be caught. And remember that group of ladies, Sherry, we would pray with this group of ladies every week, and Sherry says, man, I caught so much by being around them, by listening to them praying. So yes, you get taught, but there's a lot of things that caught, all right? So today we're going to go through this, and I'm believing that as I teach, there's also some things that you can catch. And you know, you might say, well, Pastor D, I'm just kind of new to this church thing. I'm kind of new to the Bible. I finally got a Bible. I don't know anything about prayer. I remember being there. You know, I didn't know anything about prayer. But Jesus made this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, so simple. You'll get it, all right? And I've been around some prayer warriors, and none of them went to Bible school. None of them were ministers, but I got around them and I listened to them and I learned so much. So today we're going to learn a bunch. If I had to give us our main idea today, and it'll be the same one for next week, but I'd say this, and you can write it down. If Jesus gave us a prayer, then I think it's a prayer worth praying. If Jesus gave a prayer, I think it's a one, and you know, it's a good one to pray. Now, Jesus actually gave us only one prayer, just one prayer. But I have to say this, he encourages us to pray different things, like this one, y'all know. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. Who's that? Pray to God that he would send laborers, that's us's, to tell people about Jesus. So that's a prayer that he encourages us. He gives us another one. He encourages us to pray for our enemies, right? Anybody know that one? Pray for your enemies, okay? So Jesus asks us to pray for different things, but there's only one prayer that he gives us, all right? So that's called the Lord's Prayer, and I think it's really powerful. So today as I teach it, I'm believing it's the Word of God. It'll go deep into you, and you'll catch it, and you'll pick it up. Some of you already know it, but you know what? Sometimes you know something, but how about you listen and take it to a higher level? Take it higher, all right? So you keep growing. So I want to do something a little bit differently today. You're all at Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read from verse 9 through verse 13. And can you put that up on the screen? Amen. Awesome. Okay. So I want to do this a little differently. I want us to read it out loud together. Okay, together. Now, I picked the New American Standards. It's one of those Bible translations that's really close to the original Greek. The Bible, the New Testament was written in Greek, and sometimes, you know, we translate it funky, and it's fun to read, but this one's really close, so I picked this one. But if you're like me, I learned it out of the King James, go ahead and say it that way, but I want us all to read it. Matter of fact, everybody stand up. Come on, shake it up. Stand up. We're going to read this together. If they don't stand up, slap them. That's because they're sleeping. Okay, here we go. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Yes, I did. I apologize. Really good. Ready? So Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Pray then with me. Come on, say it with me. Pray then in this way with me. Ready? Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. And if you know the doxology part, you can add that. Ready? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen. High five. You guys can all sit down. Very good. Okay. Now, that last part, you know, if you ever play Bible trivia, sometimes this is can win the game. That last part's called the doxology, and the doxology was added by Queen Elizabeth in the 17th century. So if you're reading a red letter Bible edition, you're not going to find that there, okay? That was something that was added, alrighty? So it's not included in your Bible, some translations. But if you like praying that, I saw somebody just smiling because they knew that part. Go ahead and pray that. It's okay. It's a good, powerful ending. But Jesus didn't say pray that. But it's okay. And you know, there's lots of prayers that people have written that are okay. So I just want to say that, go ahead and do it, all right? Now, today we're going to go through the first half, verses 9 and 10, all right? And next week we're going to do 11, 12, and 13. So today we're going to do this. Now, it's interesting. Jesus gives us a prayer to pray, and the first part is all about praising God. It's all about praising God. And by the way, today was fun praising God. Amen? Didn't you enjoy worship and just to pray and just sing, okay? So the first part is about giving praise to God, and our lives should always have that. We should have praise coming out of our mouth every morning. Matter of fact, I don't even have to make it to my prayer chair. I can just lay in bed and just going, God, I just praise you, okay? So praise should be a part of our life, all righty? And that part that says, Hallowed be thy name. That just means, God, your name is special. Your name is holy. Your name is set apart. It is God, the name, right? So it's a time that we get to praise him, all righty? So when I go down in the morning and I'm praying the Lord's Prayer, a lot of times I'll just go right through it. But usually I stop right here. And I'll start praying, Father, hallowed be thy name. And then I start bouncing things off and I start giving praise to God. And I just, it just kind of bubbles up, all right? Just like we did in worship, it just bubbles up. Though I have to be honest, there are some mornings my game's off a little bit. You know, I get up with 2 minutes and I just do a little bit of praise. But most of the time, there's this praise God, praise you're awesome and stuff like that. So by the way, if you have an off day, it's okay. The next day you get up and you just start praising him, all right? So that first part, hallowed be thy name, is about praising God. Real simple, real simple. Now, I want to kind of shift, but I want to say a few things here. There is a picture in the Bible of the future. There's a picture in the Bible about the future, okay? And this is going to happen in the future. Now, every one of you here, every one of you listening online, if you've received Jesus, you are going to be the people in that crowd in the future. If you've received Jesus, you're going to be at this event. So open up to Revelation chapter 7, Revelation 7. Again, this is a future event, and I'm giving you this scripture because I want you to see what we're going to be doing, not today, but in the future, all right? So Revelation 7:9. It says this, after these things, this is the Apostle John who's writing this, after these things I looked and behold a great multitude. That's good. We're going to be part of that. We are going to be the part there, okay? So again, a great multitude which no one would count from every nation and all the tribes, people and languages standing before the throne and before the Lamb clothed with white robes with palm branches in their hands, okay? So guess what's going on there? They are all worshiping. They're all worshiping. Okay, so when I think of, especially I think of these countries like China, where our brothers and sisters that have received Jesus, or our brothers and sisters in Christ, guess who's going to be standing next to me? those guys, and we're going to be standing with them worshiping. And I think of other countries like in the Middle East and some of those countries that if they find out you're a Christian, they lock you up and sometimes kill you. But they're in the future. We're all going to be together worshiping God. The people from the continent of Africa and South America, from all over the world, you and us's, we're all going to be together worshiping God. Praise God. And that is a powerful thought. At least it tickled me. Okay? So, this has been a couple of years ago. I was talking to a friend of mine. She and her husband pastor a church, and she was sharing this story. They had been invited to a minister's conference by a certain organization, and it was more of a minister/missions conference. So they had over 100 different countries of missionaries that came to this conference, and my friends were invited too, even though they weren't missionaries, okay? And she said that one night they were worshiping, like we did here this morning. There was a particular song that they were singing, and that night they selected 6 different people from the hundreds of countries, 6 different of them, to come up front and to sing a particular verse, you know. And so somebody got up and they were singing in German and Spanish and, you know, just all different languages, okay. And she said it was amazing. It was just amazing. And she said, and now everybody knew this song. How many of you remember Shout to the Mountain? Shout to the Lord, right? Shout to the Lord. It was one of those songs where everybody knew it. So, but when they got to that verse, these different people from different languages, she says, you knew what they were singing, and it was just so powerful to hear every tribe, every nation, every people singing. And someday in the future, guess what? If you know Jesus, we're going to be at that event, okay? And I look forward to that. Anybody else? Okay. But you can do that every morning. You don't have to wait for the future, okay? You can do that every morning. You can wake up and you can start worshiping God, okay? Just like they're going to do around the throne, just like they're going to do in the future, okay? Now, read the next verse. So we're reading Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Look what happens in the next verse. And they, that's those that are from every tribe and nation, and they cried out with a loud voice. Well, I don't like it loud, Pastor D. Bubba, heaven's going to be loud, right? Come on, I read this. And they cried out, because it's Jesus, okay? They cried out with a loud voice saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the 4 living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and they worshiped God, saying, amen, blessings, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, might belongs to God forever and ever, amen. Praise God. So when I get up in the morning, I don't rehearse that, but I'll tell you what, I'll start, Father, my Father, there's a relationship, He's my Father. Father, you are holy, you are hallowed, and I just want to praise you because you are mighty, you are glorious, you are beautiful, and I just praise you, and I just go off. That's why I live by myself. I can just get as loud as I want, okay? No one's going, shh, 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 okay? And it just kind of rolls out of me. It rolls out of me. Anybody else do that? Just kind of bubbles out of you, okay? Now, there's something powerful that happens when you do that. The Bible says that God inhabits praises of his people. So who do you think was just today? The Lord God, his presence was here. And listen, he can be in my prayer chair because I'm praising him. He can be in your chair if you're praising him, okay? And you know, it's also, when I go start praising the Lord like that, it's also God, it's me letting know God that or he's my Father and I love him. And it's me also saying how much I'm thankful that you love me. I'm one of your kids. So there's kind of a two-way thing going on. Praise is just not just one. It's just wonderful, okay? So the first thing I do is I sit down and I start just praising him, okay? It just kind of rolls out of me. Okay, now jump back to Matthew. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer, and I want to read verse 10, okay? Your kingdom come. Stop! That's as far as we're going right now. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Okay? So when I sit down and I pray that, it's where I am. And by the way, sometimes I just pray this whole thing all the way through. But I usually stop and listen, now you're going to know what you're praying. Now you're going to have an understanding and you're going to stop for a few minutes. You know, they say stop and smell the roses. So you're going to stop and just have this great thing here. But so when I say your kingdom come, I pray two things. I pray two things. And here's the first one. If you want to write notes, take this, write it down. Here it goes. God's kingdom comes by expanding on earth when someone accepts Jesus. I'm going to say, do they have that up there? Okay, that's okay. I'll say it again. You can write it down. God's kingdom comes by expanding on the earth when someone accepts Jesus. So when someone accepts Jesus into their life, the kingdom of God expands. How do you like the sound effects? Okay, it expands. Isn't that great? When someone accepts Jesus. So your kingdom comes and it expands when anybody accepts Jesus. It's getting bigger. Now, I want to read to you some statistics. I always have fun when I kind of get lost when I read these, and I thought I was just going to look up, you know, just a couple statistics, and then there I am two hours later doing this, but I'm not going to give you 2 hours. But listen to this. Today, we have 2.4 billion Christians on the planet. Raise your hand if you're one of them. 2.4 billion Christians are on the planet right now. That's 33% of the Earth's population are Christians. That's pretty large, okay? But there's also 1.2 billion who don't believe in God. That's about 16% of the Earth's population. And then there's those that are just part of different religions, okay? So, as a believer, as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, what is our purpose? What is our main purpose while our feet are on the planet? Well, how about sharing Jesus, right? How about inviting him to church? How about telling him that God loves him? That's the message of the kingdom, okay? And so we're called the church. So what are we supposed to be doing? We are to connect people with God. That's what we're supposed to be doing, all right? So what happens when we connect people with God? The kingdom of God expands. Real easy, okay? So I think, and I'm going, wow, 33% of the population on the planet are Christian? Dang, that's not enough, right? These chairs ought to be filled. That's not enough. That is not enough, okay? So, and Jesus talked about that. Open up to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 14. Because, guys, 33%, there should be more, amen? So, Matthew 24, verse 14. This is Jesus. He says, this good news about the kingdom will be spread. That's all of us. We get to do the spreading, okay? This good news of the kingdom will be spread throughout the world as a testimony to all nations. Then the end will come. Everybody say the end will come. All right. So the question is, 34% good enough? 35% good enough? 40% good enough? 50% good enough? And God says, hey, Jesus, they don't talk like that. Hey, Jesus, wow. You know, everybody that needs to be a Christian, probably that's become a Christian, so you can go back down and take everybody home. You know, so listen, we don't know when Jesus is coming back, but I'm not digging 33%. How about you? All right. So now, I don't know, and you don't know when the end, because he is going to get off of that throne and come back to the earth, and he's going to gather everybody who's a Christian, and then, there'll be the rapture and the tribulation, and I'm not cutting the cake on where it goes and stuff like that, but he'll come back and he'll set up his kingdom on the earth. That's the end. That is the end, okay? So my prayer and your prayer when you say, Father, your kingdom come, it's because I'm praying for people to come into the kingdom. And we can up this percentage. Amen? Amen. Oh, so I'm glad you're excited. So what happens when somebody accepts Jesus and as their Savior? What happened when I accepted Jesus? What happened when you accepted Jesus into your life? Okay, turn over to Colossians and I'll tell you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. Colossians 1, verse 3. For he, we sang this song. It was like, it's my scripture song. Here we go. For he has rescued us out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Okay? So every time somebody accepts Jesus into their life, we expand the kingdom of God. Amen. So when you pray that Lord's Prayer, Father, your kingdom come, we are praying for people to come into the kingdom and expand the kingdom. Amen. Okay, so I sit down in the morning. I should have brought my chair just for special effects. It's really comfy. Anybody ever see my chair? It's just so nice. So I sit down in my chair and I pray, your kingdom come. So I'm praying that, but I also pray for other nations when I sit down there. Right now, y'all better be praying for Afghanistan. Matter of fact, I could just go to tears, okay? We need to pray for other nations, amen? Okay, and then I also pray for our nation. You ought to be praying for our nation. Father, I lift up Washington, D.C. Father, send a revival to Washington, D.C. All right, some of you like send hailstone and brim, that stuff. No, no, no. Send revival, okay? Because we are to pray for places of power, of authority. So we're praying for the Congress and the Senate and the House of Representatives, okay? And I pray, Holy Spirit, you saturate those the Senate and the Congress, okay? Holy Spirit, you convict them of their sin. Holy Spirit, you open their eyes, their blindness, that they need a Savior. Holy Spirit, you work through them. You open their eyes so they know they need Jesus, okay? Good way to pray. Amen, Pastor D. Yeah, it is. Okay. Now, sometimes I'm listening to the news and I'm going, gosh, a bunch of idiots there. I'm not going to pray for them. No! First, you pray for them, okay? Because they can be saved. They can be saved, all right? So then I pray for the White House. I pray for our president. I pray for our vice president. I pray for the cabinet. Father God, invade them so that they would come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. How many of you ever pray for them that way? Don't raise your hand, okay? And you know, some days I kind of get lost and I start praying for the Supreme Court. That is the third branch of our government. And listen, some of them right now sitting on those seats are God haters. But you know what? I'm going to pray that while they're in there, they're not going to be. They're going to come to know Jesus. So you pray for them. We pray for our nation, okay? That's my heart cry. I just go, woo! All right. And then I bring it home. So that's our nation, okay? I bring it home and I pray for your county. Father God, let there be a revival in your county like never before. Holy Spirit, you convict those that don't know you, that are far from you, that they need Savior. So I'm praying for your county. How many pray for your county? Please pray for your county, okay? And then I make it real personal. I pray for you all at YCF. I pray for you guys, okay? Pray every day, except for maybe Sunday. No, I did pray for you today, okay? So I do. I pray for you all the time, okay? And I pray, Father, everybody that calls YCF their home, anybody that's listening online that calls YCF their home, Father, I pray for anybody that steps on our property, if they don't know you, the Holy Spirit would convict them and open their eyes so that they would receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray that all the time, okay? Okay, I pray that every weekend. That is why I have, you know, the altar call thing that we do at the end of the service, okay? And that's why, okay? So because I've prayed this, and now we're going to put some action to the prayer. And all of you that bring people to church on a Sunday, they may not have received Jesus that day, But prayer has gone out, and that prayer will not return void. I'm believing that prayer goes out, and they'll meet Jesus, okay? So I pray for the nation, I pray for the governor, I pray for YCF, and then I pray for loved ones that don't know Jesus. Anybody got a bunch of those? You should be shouting, yeah, baby. Okay, so I just want to encourage you. Maybe praying for the Washington, D.C. is not your thing, but I bet y'all have some loved ones, some kids, parents, aunties, grannies, you know, that don't know Jesus. So I want to pray, Father, your kingdom come. And Lord, I pray for this relative, and I pray for this relative, that they would come to know Jesus. Your kingdom come. Amen. So here's the second part about your kingdom come. If you're taking notes, write this down. God's kingdom will come when Jesus returns to the earth. God's kingdom will come when Jesus returns to the earth. Anybody looking forward to that day? No more taxes. Praise the Lord. School taxes are coming up. Somebody told me, and they're, you know, I was like, praise God. I'm looking forward to that day. But let me say this. Jesus died on the cross for us. He was the only one that could die on the cross for us. He was the only one whose blood was perfect. He died on the cross. He went to hell and he was raised from the dead. And then he walked on the earth for 40 days with his disciples. And the Bible says that he was teaching them the secrets of the kingdom for 40 days. It was like the crash course, 40 days, okay? And I was like, didn't you record it? I could have been watching it on live stream. That would have been so amazing, okay? But he didn't, and you could read a lot about it in your Bible, okay? So the Bible says then, after the 40 days, right in front of his disciples, Jesus ascends to heaven in a cloud. And they're like, where'd he go? Oh my gosh, is he coming back? And an angel shows up and he says, eyes on the ground, boys. Because the same way he left, the same way he was taken up, that same Jesus is coming back. Anybody excited about him coming back? He is coming back. He's coming back. And he is coming back for his church, the bride, the Christians, okay? So I get excited about that. And some days I'm like, you know, God, I know you know the time. I know you the season. I know you know it and I don't know it. But if you want to just speed it up, that'd be cool. But then I look at these seats and I'm like, it's okay. I'll be patient. Patience good. Amen? So every time I pray that prayer, the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, whatever you want to call it, I am praying, God, your kingdom come, okay? So here's the next part, and this one's amazing, all right? So we're going to read the next part of that, verse 10, Matthew 6, verse 10. And so we said, your kingdom come, but here's the second part. Your will, I love your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven, okay? I want to say this, just follow me, okay? God created time. Okay, my head does that too. God created time. Time did not exist until God created it because God actually lives outside of time. He knows the beginning and he knows the end, okay? And the Bible, listen, if you're a student of the Word, you already know this. You know prophecies, especially Old Testament prophecies, and even today, prophecies were given on a day about out there, the future, right? Okay, so come on, stay with me. You're all looking at me like, what is she talking about? Okay, so that is telling us that things, those prophecies are going to happen in the future. God is telling us things are going to happen in the future. And he's not guessing, I wonder if it's going to happen. He knows the beginning from the end, okay? And I got to tell you, I can explain it intellectually, sort of the best I could do right now. But when I sit on my chair some days, I go, I still don't get it. It's just crazy. The way he knows. He's just outside of that. He knows future, okay? But I'm good with that. I'm just going to be good with that, sit in my chair, okay? So the Bible tells us that God is sovereign. The Bible tells us that God has plans. The Bible tells us that he's got seasons, especially if you read your Old Testament, you see how it got up to this, okay? Okay? So I know there are the end times, okay? And some of you, that you just love reading all about that. Some of you are like, Pastor D, you're going to preach on it. Sort of. Here we go. So, but I don't know, and you don't know when the end comes. You can read your Bible. Listen, there's signs. There's smells. You'll see stuff like that, but you don't know. So, we're talking about prayer, the Our Father. So when I pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, I start again praying for nations. And I start praying for our nations, okay? So if you're taking notes, write this down. Here we go. God's will be done. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven concerning nations and leaders. Nations and leaders, all right? So I spent a lot of time. The older I get, the more I spend time praying for our nation and leaders. Anybody else? Jeez Louise, okay? And listen, if you're like me, I see a bunch of things that I don't like, that I am not happy. But I got news. It doesn't matter who's sitting in that office. There's things I don't like and I'm not happy about. But I'm praying, okay? And we're praying, all righty? So we're praying. God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I start praying for our nation and the leaders, okay? First, this is the mama finger. First, you pray about their salvation. Okay? With a smile. And then, this is one of my prayers. Lord, if possible, could you move so-and-so out? If possible, can you take them out of the office? Okay, now, that doesn't mean I'm hiring a hitman to take them out. I had a friend say that. I was like, what? No, number one, that God doesn't answer that prayer. Oh, yeah, some of you, okay, we don't pray that, right? We don't pray that, okay? But I am praying, Lord, if you could take them out of that office, and let me give you the because. Because some people, some of them, may never accept Jesus. And I'm like, well, they're just messing it up, so move them out, right? If you're not going to accept Jesus, move them out. I'll give you a scripture and verse. Some of you are like, I can't believe she's saying that, okay? So this is my prayer. Lord, you, now this is the Bible prayer. Lord, expose the darkness, expose the evil. That's a prayer in the Bible. Expose the darkness and then take them out of the office if they're not going to do this, okay? So now, then I always go, this one, I had to grow up to say this. Not my will, but your will, Lord, because I really don't know God's plan for every one of those people in offices, okay? You don't. So I'm going to pray for their salvation. And but then I go, you know, if you want to move them out, but not my will, your will, okay? So then I pray for governments and stuff. Now, I want to give you this next scripture. It's an Old Testament scripture. It's Ezra chapter 1. You can just write it down. They'll pop it up. But listen, this scripture will give you hope. Because some days I'm watching it and I'm going, man, they're really messed up there, okay? So, but this scripture will give you hope for praying for our nation, for praying for governments, okay, for praying for these leaders, all right? So this is an Old Testament story, and God has a prophet, Jeremiah. God has this prophet guy, Jeremiah, and he calls him to go to Israel. And Jeremiah the prophet starts prophesying the future. He starts saying what God had told him, because they were the ear and the mouthpiece, the prophets in the old days, okay? And he starts saying, hey, Israel, you're going to be taken captive. They're going to burn the temple, destroy the temple, and you're going to be taken captive for 50 years in Persia. Now, that is just not a hunk of good news on a Sunday morning, is it? So they are mad at him. They don't like what he said. They don't believe what he says, and then they're mad again, and they want to stone him. But guess what? It happened. It happened. And Israel was taken captive and brought into the country of Persia, all right, for 50 years. And then 50 years go by, and listen to this. You know, I always say God has plans within plans. 50 years goes by. So now he had prophesied what was going to happen, and it happened. And 50 years go by, and God has a new emperor in Persia come on the scene. A new guy shows up. His name is Cyrus. Anybody hear about Cyrus? A new, just 50 years just so happened. No, God told you the future. I love it. Read your Bible. So 50 years goes by. God has a new guy, a new emperor show up. His name is Cyrus. Now, Cyrus is not a believer. Cyrus is an idol worshiper, and he doesn't know nothing or like the Jews, and he doesn't like God, okay? And so God has this new emperor come on the throne, okay? And the Bible says that God will take the heart of men, idol worshipers of men, don't know anything about God. God will take the heart and he'll move on them. He'll move on them to do what he wants done. Okay, I'm going someplace with this, okay? So he can make them, he moves on them to do what he wants done. I think that's pretty cool. That should give you hope. You know, down in Washington, y'all should have some hope now. Happy faces going on. And God still can do that, okay? So Ezra chapter 1. Where am I? Ezra chapter 1. Where is it? I'll find it. Nope. Flip the page, Pastor D. Ezra chapter 1. In the first year, Cyrus, king of Persia, that's the new guy, okay? In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah. Now, this isn't written for Cyrus. He doesn't even know this is written in the Bible. This is for us. This is like a reminder to us where we go, God's going, I told you, wink, wink, I told you this was going to happen, all right? This is Cashman interpretation of that. So, okay, moving on. The Lord moved on the heart of Cyrus, the king of Persia, to make a declaration throughout his realm and also to put it on writing, okay? So God got into Cyrus's heart, the king, the guy that was an idol worshiper, the guy that didn't know nothing about God and didn't really like the Jews, okay? And he got into his heart. He got God. Got into his heart, and he makes this proclamation. So read the rest of, because of time, praise the Lord, just read that chapter, chapter 1, and you'll see all this, but I'm going to give you the condensed version. Okay, so God got in Cyrus's heart, and Cyrus says, hey, listen, I'm going to send the Jews back to Israel to build the temple. This is a guy that doesn't know God, doesn't love God, doesn't know, okay? I'm going to send the Jews back to Israel to build the temple. And I'm going to send some of my guards to protect them because the roads were pretty nasty, bad guys out there. And this is a crazy one. I am going to use the treasury from Persia to pay for it. So if you don't like your money, give it to me and I'll buy things, okay? Basically, that's what's going on, all right? So I'm going to take the treasury from Persia, and I'm going to send it over to Israel to pay for it, okay? Basically, everything God wanted got done, all righty? And he did it by moving on a heart of a guy who had no regard for God or God's people, okay? So I don't know about you, but that gives me some hope about what's going on, you know. Down there. Amen? Y'all have hope? You should have happy faces today, right? Happy faces, okay? So we can pray for who's ever in the office. We ought to be praying, not God take them out. But I do that later, but you know. That part, okay. We got to pray. All right. So I get up in the morning and I sit in my prayer chair and I go, you know, God, yeah, please change some things that are going on down there. And God, I see this. This isn't good. Please pray that. And then I pray, God, your will be done, not my will, because ultimately God knows more than I do. So have hope and peace and pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Amen. All right, now, I think prayer is really, 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 really important. But how about maybe, just possibly, God wants you to be the feet to some of those prayers y'all praying. Because we're praying now, God, you know, your kingdom come. How about God maybe wants you to be the feet, people of action, to those prayers, okay? Because you live in a democratic republic. You do, okay? And how about you get involved? You get involved, all right? Okay, so you don't like school board. The school is pushing some wackadaisy stuff. How about, I don't like it, how about you start attending those school board meetings? I just heard, I saw this, I don't know where I saw it, a school district in the southern part of county, 150 parents showed up. And they said, we don't like what you're trying to push. And they were like sneaking it in the door by 2025. And these parents showed up, said they got involved and changed it. How about that? That lady that called a couple years ago, the district up that way, was trying to push something, and she was trying to call people that she knew to come to this meeting at the school board meeting, and she, three people. And the school just wiggled some snotty thing in there, okay? So, everybody smile. I love you, Pastor D. I love you, Pastor D. Okay? Listen, we live in a democratic republic, and you are allowed, by the First Amendment, you are allowed to speak out. You need to speak out, okay? You need to do that, okay? You have the right. That is still our right. Amen? It's still our right. Sometimes I think they're trying to sneak it out there, but listen, you have a right, okay? All right, let me say this. But you are a believer. You are an ambassador. You are a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when God does tell you to go these places and speak out, don't be hateful. Don't go cussing. Don't get ugly and go beating on people, all right? Do it in love. Speak in the truth in love. Yeah, you see the last 2020 stuff, crazy stuff going on. Okay, but listen, you guys have, so first and foremost, go pray. Father, your kingdom come on earth as I go in and pray. Pray always, pray, okay? But listen, God wants you sometimes, and I'm saying especially in the times we are living, God wants you to do something. One, vote. Don't even get me going on that one, okay? And two, ask God, what am I supposed to do? Amen. So I talked to this retired person, and she goes, well, I don't have kids in school anymore. I said, yes, but you have wisdom and a mouth. Please go to these school board meetings. Amen? Okay. Praise the Lord. So I get up excited in the morning. Hallelujah. I'm going to sit down, and I go, Father, your will be done in Washington, D.C. Your will be done in my government. Your will be done in the school. And I get excited. All right? Praise the Lord. Now, here's the second thing that we pray, and you can jot this down. All right? God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven concerning Christians. Okay? God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven concerning Christians. Okay, concerning Christians. So that could be your spouse. That could be your kids. That could be your grandparents. That could be Auntie Jo. That could be people at YCF. God's will be done concerning Christians, okay? Now, we have a right to ask God. You can ask God, okay, to take his will for so-and-so, the Christian, take his will and put it in their heart that it would be a desire. Because God puts desires in people's hearts, all right? So you have a right to ask that, all righty? So turn over to 139, Psalm 139. I read this a couple of weeks ago, maybe it's a month ago, and it had to do with a different road, but it's still a great scripture, so I'm going to read it again for this. Okay, so Psalm 139, verse 16. Psalm 139, verse 16. This is about how God wrote in a book in heaven. Everybody remember that when teaching? Okay. So Psalm 139, verse 16. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out. Every single day that had passed. Okay. So before you were born, God wrote in his book plans and purposes for you, okay? Plans and purposes for you that, and listen, God only writes good plans. Sometimes I come up with these wacky daisy plans, and they don't always turn out. But God always writes good plans. Everybody say, he has a good plan for my life. Amen, all right? So when you pray this, Father God, your kingdom come, your will be done, and you're praying for loved ones, well, you're praying for the government, but you pray for, let me get an example. I pray for you all, and I go, Father, for my people, you're all my people, for my people here at YCF, I pray, Father, Lord, that you would open the eyes of their understanding, that they would see the plans that you wrote down for them, and they would know these plans, and they would be excited at plans, and these would be the desires of their heart, and they would walk out your plans for their life in Jesus' name and not be a day late. So I pray that for you guys, I'm praying for you. Don't think you're slipping out the back door, okay? So I know there's a book, and I know that God is able to put desires, and I'm praying that those desires, that you know them and you walk them out, okay? And then lastly, I pray for loved ones, okay? How many of you are a parent or a grandparent? How many of you have some, well, don't raise your hand. So maybe you have some kids that are not serving God the way they should. Okay, you brought them up the way they should, but they're not serving God. And maybe you're just not happy in the direction they're going. Okay, they're doing goofy stuff. I have a book of goofy stuff kids do. I'm like, what? Okay, so you can't blame that half their brain's not developed yet, but they do goofy stuff. So how about we pray, Father, I pray that you put these godly desires in them and that they would see them and know them and make the turn and walk that out in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for those desires. They're bubbling out. They're making a turn. They're doing a 180 in Jesus' name. And you know when I pray that? I just go to bed happy, okay? So if Jesus gave us a prayer, I think it's kind of worth praying. And I only did verses 9 and 10. So how many of you are excited about this prayer? How many of you are excited that this prayer changes nations? This prayer, you know, you could, and you just launch. It's like, you know, ready, and you just launch off. Okay, so I'm going to pray for nations. I'm going to pray for people. Amen. So everybody stand up. We're going to close reading this prayer again. Everybody? If you pray it with different words in there, you know, trespasses and all that. That's all right. Okay, ready? You ready? Our Father, with me, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, and do not lead us into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. Amen. Okay, you can sit back down. It's just shaking your legs up, okay? Praise the Lord. I just want to pray for everybody right now. Father, I thank you. I thank you that Jesus, you said, this is a prayer. This is a prayer. Now, Father, I'm praying for everybody here that they never even thought about this prayer. Father, that it become real and they become people of prayer, people of hope, because they're praying your word, your will. And in Jesus' name, amen. I have one more thing. Father, I thank you that you sent Jesus. He was the only one, his blood was the only one that could go into heaven and fulfill justice. And to forgive us our sins, to make us come into the heavens, to be a part of God's family. So I have a question. If you're here today and you're not sure of your eternity, because you can know your eternity. You can know where you're forever. You know, they talk, everything's real big about your forever home. I just crack up. Your forever home. It ain't here, baby. Okay? So if you're not sure of your forever home, it's real simple. Jesus said, whoever call on his name, receive him into their life, you would become his child, and then heaven is your forever home. Actually, you become a child of God now. You don't have to wait, okay? It's just great things now. So if you're here today and you have never asked Jesus into your life, today is a great day. It's real simple, okay? It's just wonderful. He just made it so good. And he said again, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. You become a child of God. You become his part of his family. Okay, and I'm a Cashman. I'm a part of a really cool family. But man, family of God is just so sweet. Okay? And there's just great things from that moment off. So if you're here today and you would like to pray, if you'd like to receive Jesus into your life, you can do that. Matter of fact, raise your hand. I'll pray for you. How about we all pray this together? So everybody close your eyes. Just no looking around. Ready? Just close your eyes. Let's just get our head back in the game. Think about Jesus. Amen. Okay. Thank you, Lord. So when you pray this prayer, just mean it from your heart. And I always tell everybody, you need to say it out loud. Say it so you can hear it. You don't have to scream it, but just say it so you can hear it. So how about like this? So everybody say this with them. Father God, I realize I need a Savior. I need Jesus. I realize I'm far from him. And I want a change in my life. So Jesus, I'm asking you to come into my heart. And I'm confessing you as my Savior. And from this day forth, I will follow you all the days of my life. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are now a child of God. Somebody else said, oh, no. No, you are a child of God. You're a child of God. And the Bible talks about heaven just going bananas and being excited. So praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Expand it, right? Expand it. Praise the Lord. Well, y'all, I love you. Wow, I did really good on time today. Praise the Lord. So we have church picnic right now. But if you would like prayer, I'm going to be over here. I'll pray for you. But the rest of y'all, scootle out the door, grab your stuff. Well, I think they took the ice chest. So we'll meet you over at Sunset Park. There's directions on the table as you go out. There's maps if you don't have a map quest. And we'll meet you at the picnic, and we're going to have fun, and we're just going to hang out. So I'll see you soon.